Yeah. Shadano and LZ. Clint Yates in for LZ today. Mama Momo's here as she is every Wednesday hanging out with us, giving us an extra 15 minutes here on the back end. DeMarco Farr going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll talk some football with him about the Rams drama between Sean McVay and Jared Goff and, of course, championship weekend. But Momo, during the break, we were talking about the inauguration today and the fashion choices today. I thought the ladies looked fantastic tonight.
Oh, my God.
Or today.
I mean, it was – let me tell you something. It is hard to make cold weather clothes look fashionable.
I bet.
Right? Like, when like a woman, like –
Dudes can pull that off a lot easier,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you just put on a nice blazer, you wear a nice suit, and you got a great coat, and you're good to go. Like, women, it's like you got to really – I mean, Michelle Obama – With that crimson outfit and the belt,
the belt was off the chain.
The belt
set it
was
off.
Amazing.
Set it off.
Just that accessory alone was just like, oh my gosh. And then, like, I thought Dr. Biden looked good. Joe Biden, she was great. I love that. Oh my gosh, the poet from L.A., the 22-year-old with the yellow
Amanda Gorman,
with the yellow coat.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was amazing. She should run for office. She's only 23, but she should eventually run for office.
You know, she's on the record in a 2017 New York Times story saying, I'm going to run for president in 2036. I just want you to know that.
Oh, no way, because I actually was going to tweet that, but I didn't know what year I should pick. And I was going to go with 2036 because she was amazing.
Shout out to the LA Public Library System who immediately tweeted how it started, how it's going, because she was awarded the Young Poet Laureate
Award. That was so good.
I was like, yes, LAPL all over this. Instantly.
And apparently, Briones just told me the jewelry she wore was
gifted to her by Oprah.
Oprah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So it was pretty cool. Clinton and I were laughing about J-Lo and A-Rod's pictures after the fact, like the posing in front of the Capitol, like sitting on the steps, right, in between the legs. Like it was like she was sitting in between Alex's legs. It was just funny.
I was just like, why is Alex Rodriguez next to Barack Obama? Like, well, I was like, what is happening?
Well, Barack Obama loves him some sports. Let you know this, Momo. I mean, we were in Toronto together when he pulled up on you. He's like, I like your work.
I know why. You do a great job. I mean, I'm never going to. That's it. That's on the bio. That's Anyway, I should have just retired right then. Yeah. But like Obama likes hoops. Like he's not a. Yeah. I mean, he might like a little baseball, but he's all right. You know.
I feel like that's one of those deals where you got to kind of talk to like your significant other's friend's significant other kind of deal. It's like, all right. Here with A-Rod. What's up, dude? You know what I'm saying? Like, about that weather.
I know.
You see the Dodgers? I know. J-Lo, you know.
I'm not trying to talk to A-Rod, right? Like, if I'm in a room with those two, I'm trying to talk to J-Lo, right?
I totally agree.
Nothing to do with, like, you know, I can hear it A-Rod anytime. He's on the broadcast. He's whatever. When do you get to talk to J-Lo? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, then that's, I don't know. I thought of the inauguration this morning. It's so fun to look to see. So fun to look at who talks to who afterwards. Like, when all the pomp and circumstance is over, like all the celebration or whatever, then, you know, there's the everybody gets to chat, right? All the chattering. The let out. There you go. And it's like every time, like George W. Bush, like made a beeline for Michelle.
Every time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Every time. Momo, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time, obviously, talking about the Lakers, and the Clippers are playing well. And look, Ty is a different coach than Doc. You and I talked about this last week when you were on. He's a more business-like dude, okay? Like, it's going to have a different tone to it. But I feel like when I watch this team, there is this underlying thing where, you know, there's a lot riding on this season, particularly because Kawhi is still unsigned. Like, how are we supposed to feel about them this season, knowing that that's kind of hanging above them?
So what's interesting is, like, I don't see Kawhi going anywhere. Do you? You know, I know that that's a I know that's a thing, but he came home for a reason. And, you know, unless he doesn't enjoy seeing his family all the time, you know, I think he does. I see. Well, back when we used to go to games, I would see him with family all the time, you know. He has a very large extended family here in LA. So I think he likes being here. I think he likes being in San Diego, you know, where that's where he went to school and where he has this big house. But I mean, it just like, does he seem like the kind of guy that's going to come home and then bounce after a couple years?
If it doesn't go I don't think so either, but it is. I guess it's just smart business, right, to not sign an extension yet and just kind of wait and see. But it is interesting, though. Like, you know, you make all this noise about coming home, and then, you know, you're going into a free agent year, you know?
Yeah, but one dicey offseason in terms of everything coming out about how you do your operation later, a lawsuit here and there involving your family members, perhaps another loss in the playoffs. Like, it's not out of the question that, you know, one could be turned off from the experience, you know what I'm saying, even if you are home. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, you know, you've already made the money, and it's like, well, you know what, actually this franchise might not be what I want. That would be my number one concern, is re-signing Kawhi, because otherwise this was all not exactly a sham. But on some level, if you don't come out of it with a ring and you don't come out of it with a Kawhi extension, what'd you do any of it for, you know?
You know what? You did that to be a contender, okay? Yeah. Like, even if, you know, when have the Clippers been a contender? I would say,
I mean, they were like
maybe
a
year
contender.
Or two in Lob City.
They were pretenders. They were pretenders, and now they are contenders. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it was like, they had a really nice team with Chris Paul and Blake, but they were never healthy at the right time. And that was also like when the Heat was really good and the Spurs were really good. So they just never really, you know, hit it at the right time with everyone healthy to where they could. I never thought of them as contenders. Did you at that time?
No, like, not serious.
Like, you want to give yourself a crack at it. You want to be I like when teams go for it. Like, I like Daryl Morey and Houston going for it every year. I think this Brooklyn thing could be a giant mess, but could also work, and I like that they're going for it, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
We'll see, right? So, like, to me, the whole thing, it was like, you thought you were going to win, and that didn't happen, and that was embarrassing and bad. And you also need to prove to your fan base that you're for real, because you're building this giant stadium down in Inglewood, and people better show up, right? Like, you know, right now, the Clippers are at Staples Center, and people are used to going there, but are they going to drive, and they're going to, you know, deal with the parking, and can they do that on their own? Because when they did that before at the sports arena, it wasn't as good. You know, it wasn't. They didn't. And now, granted,
I will appreciate it. It's a little closer for me, but it is also the 405, which is
George
like
Sedano.
I know.
Clippers.
We need to get our.
But the 405 changes the dynamic. You don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's an express lane on the 110 coming my way. Like, you know, like,
that's
don't know. I don't got that on the 405. So it is a little.
It's gonna be a great arena too. It's gonna be like Center type arena. Yeah. So it's going to be like a great place to go. But, you know, you got to get people driving all the way towards the airport, you know, instead of downtown. I don't know what's more central. Maybe they have West Side fans and it won't be a big deal. But, like, you got to have something for people to go watch if you're going to build this big stadium. And you got to prove that you're in it to win it every year. And so if it didn't work out, okay, but at least you were in it to win it. And so I don't think there's as much pressure on keeping Kawhi. One, I don't really believe he's going to leave. Especially now that the Lakers are sort of off the board as a destination, unless there's, you know, some kind of crazy trade or something. Which, can you imagine the Lakers and Clippers trading? No.
Oh my God! Okay? Could you imagine that?
No.
Oh, the world would explode.
Just complete.
Yeah, I mean, they did
that
once. Yeah, they did the. Remember the Ivica Zubac thing? And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? They never do trades, and then it just really didn't work out so good for the Lakers. But like, when you look at Kawhi in general, like, I think it's, you got to just bet on yourselves. Like, I think they're in a position where they just got to bet on this team. We signed you guys. We're going to do whatever we can to win this year. We're going to do, you know, we're going to try to sell out, because the truth is Kawhi and Paul, like, they're not that young. They probably have like a 3 or 4 year window where they can try to compete. But like, after those 3 or 4 years, like, you got to be on to the next, you know? So this is it. Go for it.
So Momo, on Friday, and since we won't talk to you before then, or Clinton for that matter, on Friday, it is the anniversary of Kobe's 81-point game.
Cool.
That's the day my story is dropping, where I talk to the guys who spent a lot of their career having to guard prime Kobe Bryant. It'll be on the ESPN app and ESPN.com, so make sure you look out for it on Friday morning. But what do you remember about that 81-point game? Like, do you remember, like, where you were watching it? Were you there? Like, what do you remember about that?
No, I wasn't there. I kind of just remember seeing – I wasn't there at the time because I don't think I was on the Laker beat at that point. I was, like, a columnist. I was, like, bouncing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just kind of bouncing around. Like, I was still doing, you know, a little bit of high school sports, some college, some backup work, some NBA. I was kind of covering the Clippers here and there, you know. I didn't really, like, full-time do NBA until 2000. I think the next year is when I really did a lot more, gotcha. Right? And, but, so, like, I wasn't there, but and we didn't really have Twitter. I mean, I don't even know if it worked then, but you know, you started to see the scores, right? Like, so I remember seeing all that, and then, you know, I turned the game on and just watched it. Like, it was like, you know, you started to, it wasn't the same as like Twitter where you like just follow everything online. It was like, you kind of had to hear about what was going on. Did it happen on a Friday?
It was January 22nd. So I'd have to look up the specific date.
I have to look it back. For some reason, it feels to me like it happened on a Friday and I was at my poker game that I played once a month or something. I kind of remember that, but I just remember that. Yeah, you know, my dad used to be a teacher, and they had a poker game for like 35 years, and
nice.
It was all the teachers at his school. And so, like, I used to play when I was like a kid. I was like 7, and I started, and then he would like invite me, and I would like, and I was just like the kid, right?
Sunday, but, like, Momo, I didn't know what Sunday. I was doing.
It was a Sunday. Okay, so maybe it wasn't. Where was I? I don't know. I definitely remember like turning on the game in the second half, right. And it was like that amazing. Was... You know, here's a little bit of trivia. I don't know if you know this. Okay,
yeah.
The scout who worked for the Lakers, who scouted the Raptors that night. You want to know who it is? Take a guess.
Okay, Frank Vogel.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You know the trivia.
Look at this.
Okay, so that was his big connection to the Lakers. Yeah. He had just gotten fired someplace. I think I forget where he was on staff, but he had just gotten fired, kind of out of work. It was like a gap year. He was in Philly. I think their kids were young. And he got a job as like an advanced scout.
Yeah.
And he said he met Phil Jackson once. He mostly communicated through Kurt Rambis, who was Frank, you know, who was Phil's lead assistant, and also who else? I think Frank Hamblin and some other scouting guys. Mm-hmm. But he scouted. He had the Raptors scout. And
that's great.
Yeah, you know, he was. Yeah, on the night they went for 81. Now I don't know.
The thing that I remember the most about that is that, Momo, I wonder what you think about this too, is how much Jalen Rose still talks about that game as it defines his career. You got to understand that for me, Jalen Rose was like, dude, I played middle school basketball. We all shaved our heads and got black socks the second we saw Fab Five. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he's like, getting to meet him later, obviously in life and as a professional was like one of the coolest things in the world. But to hear him talk about the time he got cooked, and it's still, they even made a commercial about it, and it's still something that affects him so much, was fascinating to me about like those run-ins people had with Kobe. Like, yeah, that was the time that Kobe changed my life. Dog blew me up on the court. Yeah. I've never been the same person since. And it's amazing to hear him talk about that. That night was really, really wild.
So it's funny, in the story, obviously we talked to Jalen because we wanted to publish it on the anniversary of the 81-point game. And he had some really funny lines about playing him that night. And actually, we talked to him also about playing Kobe in the 2000 finals. You know, remember Jalen injured Kobe in that series. He missed, I believe, game 3 in that series. And Kobe came back to win the infamous game 4 where Shaq fouled out in overtime. So we had a long conversation with Jalen about those particular episodes. But we talked to Shane Battier, Tony Allen, who Kobe said was the greatest defender he ever faced. It was a pretty fun deal. And we're actually going to have the YouTube conversation, or the conversations that I did on Zoom will be up on ESPN's YouTube over the weekend too. So if you're like a Kobe fan, not only should you read the story, but you'll actually get to see the conversations that I had with these guys.
You know what I really remember about this too, George, that year is that Kobe was like going nuts all year.
Oh yeah. Like, that was a Smush Parker team. 50. He scored 35 points a game that year.
Right.
Yeah.
He just did whatever, you know? Yeah. And I remember going out there all the time, and it was kind of like, this is not like Phil Jackson kind of basketball. This is not the type. But like, he didn't have any other options. So he just did it, you know? And it was like, this is what it's going to be. This is Kobe, right? So I think, you know, to me, he is like, that was the ultimate Kobe. But I'll never forget his last game. Like, I know 81 is amazing. He had so many, I mean, the 62 against Dallas and the, you know, in 3 quarters, right? I mean, there were so many games that he could have gone off and gotten close to that. But, like, the last game where he goes for 60 points, that to me is the ultimate Kobe game.
Yeah.
You know, 60 points on 50 shots. Yeah. You know how many there's oh, I mean, how many minutes are there in a game to take 50 shots in a game? Think about that.
That's more than a shot in a minute.
Right? Sure. I mean, it's more than it's literally like that is unbelievable in terms of just the sheer volume of shots that he put up. And the 81-point game, like, it was pretty efficient, right? You did the story, right? What did people tell you?
Yeah, I have. Hold on. I have the stats here. Hold
yeah.
On. Well, I do. So I'll just give away one little piece of what Jalen said about that game, because everyone always talks, right? Yeah. Like, I remember that night, a lot of people were out there saying, like, oh, I would have hard fouled him. Yeah, Kobe shot 61% that night, 28 of 46.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But I remember a lot of people around the league, like, when I talk to guys around the league, like, hey, what, you know, how would you have handled him being so hot? You know, back in 2006, like, oh man, we would have fouled him hard, this, that, and the other. And Jalen said, you know what? We didn't foul him hard. You know why? He didn't say a word that night. Like, he didn't wow. trash talk. He didn't say anything, he said. And
really?
It's like, when someone is doing that and also not talking bleep in your face, it's kind of hard to be like, I'm going to take this dude out, because he's not. He's just killing you. He's just cooking you. It's not about, like, him testing your manhood, which ends up becoming the issue in a lot of those situations, you know?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and the truth is, like, as you're going through this kind of stuff, like, when you're in that zone, like, you don't need to talk.
Right.
Like, you don't need it. Like, you just go. Like, I've only had one as an athlete. I don't know if you've ever gotten in a zone like that. There was like a 3-week period in my sophomore year where I was just like, the ball was like a freaking beach ball. Yeah. Like, I was just like balling. And I was like, what is going on here right now? Like, I mean, even in batting practice, it was just like, boom, like, shoot, I've never hit like this before. I don't know what's going on. And when you're in the zone like that, the best thing you can do is just relax. Just go with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
By the way, I'm going to interrupt here because we've got a league pass alert. League pass alert. The Brooklyn Nets, with Kyrie back in the lineup for the first time, are tied at 113. There was 16 seconds to go. Cleveland turned the ball over.
Oh.
Kyrie was running the other way and gets called for an offensive foul off the steal.
Okay.
Awful call, by the way.
Yeah, terrible
call. He put his hand up on a basic dribble moving from the top of the key to the right side of the lane. They call it offensive foul.
Right, but awful they call. Shouldn't even be in – like, Cleveland shouldn't be in this game, which I think is the take that most people will have. Like, they had a double-digit lead up until a couple minutes ago, and Brooklyn has fought back ferociously. It's 1.5 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And the Cavs will have the ball with 1.5 seconds left.
Sexton deserves an Academy Award for that, by the way. I'm just letting
you know. Oh, no. He forearmed him in the face.
Okay,
now that I see the replay.
Like, you know what? We're talking about a visual medium here. I'm just saying, that was ticky-tack in my opinion.
He forearmed. He got elbow in the face. The NBA, Momo, you could attest to this, right? The league is very sensitive about shots to the face.
Yeah. So, for concussions, especially, yeah.
So I feel like we should stay here for a second. I know DeMarco's going to join us. Greg, just slide stuff. Because this is – I always like – Momo's always on when we're having, like, crazy endings to NBA games with us.
I love it.
So I want to see – oh, no, they're reviewing this. Forget it. Momo's going to take forever.
I was going to say, this is going to take forever.
Anyway, but if
– Well, you can be like, after the break, we'll tell you what the review said.
If Brooklyn loses this game, the takes tomorrow are going to be hot.
Ooh.
Scorching, and I don't have a damn show tomorrow. I need to find someone's outlet to jump on.
You could just Stephen A it and do selfie
and just do
videos.
A video.
Yeah, you could just do selfie videos. You want to give that Stephen A
home
like
produced.
Selfie every time you watch. He literally just holds up the phone and just like does his like take on the Cowboys or the Nets or the Knicks or whatever. He'd be like,
"How about them Cowboys?"
Yeah. And then he just goes like, "I mean, it's amazing."
Momo, you're amazing. Thank you for hanging out
with
us. Appreciate
it.
We'll talk to
you
soon.
Great
to see
you.
I'll go make some dinner. Thanks,
all right. Ciao, ciao.
All right, so there's Momo. DeMarco Farr is going to join us next. We will tell you if Brooklyn lost this game or not on the other side. We should know by then. DeMarco's going to join us. We'll talk about the Rams, Goff, McVay. Do they need marriage counseling? Or can they coexist? Can this all be sorted out? Plus, championship weekend, all with DeMarco in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ano and LZ, Clint Yates hanging out with us today. Thankful to have him aboard. Thanks to Ramona, who joined us for the last hour. If you missed any part of the show, including Ramona's hour, make sure you subscribe to the Sedano and LZ podcast on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and tell a friend, too. So DeMarco Farr, Rams on-field analyst, joins us now, friend of the program every week at this time. DeMarco. So we had our buddy on, Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, and he had a quote from a source that said that McVay and Goff may need a little marriage counseling. So what are we talking about here when it comes to the output of Jared Goff and it's his relationship with his head coach?
You know, those things get strained. I think the most celebrated one in recent memory is Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
Right.
They kind of fell out. I mean, I remember June Jones or Jeff George yelling at June Jones way back in the day. Bill Parcells screaming at Phil Simms to get his ass back on the bench. Excuse my language. But quarterbacks and head coaches, they're different. They get coached different. They talk to each other differently. I mean, the quarterback is everything. So, yeah, sometimes those relationships get strained. But marriage counseling, I think that's just between the two. They're going to have to work out their own language. They're going to have to figure out what went wrong between the two of them and work it out. Because, look, they're both not going anywhere. I mean, can you see anybody really wanting to trade for Jared Goff right now?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to be your quarterback for next season. So they're going to have to figure it out. And it behooves Sean McVay to figure it out with his quarterback. So either way, you've got to smooth out those rough points in that relationship to make that quarterback more functional for this football team.
DeMarco Farr. Oh, I'm sorry, Clint. I thought you were gone for something.
No. I was saying that, like, McCarthy ends up leaving the Packers, goes to another place, and he's a bum, and everybody thinks they were better off for it. I'm not saying that McVay's got to get jettisoned, but I think what I'm asking you is, you know, what would you see the solution being if they can't figure it out, you know?
Well, it's funny. I mean, when we look at Goff's numbers and his career and his picks to touchdown and that ratio, and this is what we do in the media. You guys know, you're on TV and on the radio every single day. We start looking for heads to chop off, and we start with the head coach, and then we work our way either up or down to the GM. But me, I focus on the guy. So if you want to direct some anger for Jared Goff and how he's playing and how much he's being paid, then direct it at him.
Yeah.
He's the guy making the mistakes on the field. So to me, I hope that Jared Goff in this offseason really does some soul searching, that man in the mirror stuff, and find out ways to make yourself better. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do, and the last thing I hated to do as a player, I think it happened once, maybe twice. Once when I was a rookie, and I can't take responsibility, but when Rich Brooks got fired because we weren't good enough, that hurt, man. We cost him his job, not the other way around. So as players and as a player, I hope you find ways to improve and really take this stuff seriously. Now, the one thing I keep hearing, and I don't know, I haven't spoke to Jared, but how bad does he desire to be great? You know, when they start calling that stuff into question, I mean, it's man in the mirror time for you in the offseason.
Fascinating stuff, and something that obviously will continue to unfold, and I'm sure we'll document plenty here on these types of shows for the next several months. But so let me ask you about the teams that are actually playing this weekend. And, you know, we've got Tampa and Green Bay, Tom versus Aaron, and then you've got the Chiefs obviously taking on the Buffalo Bills, the upstart Buffalo Bills. But let's stay in the NFC for a second. I am an Aaron Rodgers guy. It's not that I'm disrespecting Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's resume is the greatest we've seen. But if I look at just a guy who, like, is the perfect player for that position, like, I don't find any flaws in his individual game, to me, it's Aaron Rodgers. Where are you on the differences between those two guys?
Brady. Because, and I'm with you, with Aaron Rodgers and his ability, and he just beat the Rams. And look, he makes me nervous every single game day when he's on the other side of the field. I mean, you're never really comfortable. But I'll take Brady because what's the one knock on Aaron Rodgers? It's probably off the field stuff, right?
Personality conflicts.
Yes. Personality. And there's more to it than what we know. I mean, you have to be in the building to know that. But some of that stuff starts to leak out. I don't hear anything about Brady other than he's driven to win. It's, and dare I say, and God rest his soul, it's Kobe-like. The guy's an assassin. All he wants to do is win. So ability-wise, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a tough out on any game day. But for me, it's Tom Brady. This guy eats, sleeps, and drinks football, period, end of story. That's why he's got more Super Bowl wins than any other quarterback that ever lived.
DeMarco, who is the team that has the coaching staff with the greatest advantage at this point in the NFL season?
The greatest coaching staff. That's a good one. You know, I'll go with Kansas City. I think Andy Reid is phenomenal. I think he's great. I think he's innovative. I think a lot of these young guys like Sean McVay get a lot of credit for being innovative, but Andy Reid's been doing the same stuff for years. And I still think he's ahead of most defensive coordinators. Plus, they have Eric Bieniemy, that's his right-hand man, that's also helping call plays. And it's a shame that, you know, he hasn't found a job just yet. But, yeah, I think Kansas City, to a man, top to bottom, I think that staff is dynamite. They're all good, and they have a great culture in Kansas City. So I'll go with them to answer your question. But when you do switch to the AFC, is Patrick Mahomes going to play this week?
I think so.
You think so? Because I'm not picking Kansas City if Chad Henne is at quarterback.
Yeah, me neither.
Not at all. Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's go ahead, Clinton. I'm sorry, did you have a follow-up?
No, that was all I got. I wanted to know his thoughts about the coaching staff, because I think that Bieniemy factor is super huge, especially if Mahomes doesn't play. We're going to get to see what this guy's really made of.
What is it about Bieniemy, man? Maybe he interviews bad. Does he scare people when you look at him or something?
Go ahead.
I'll give you my quick take on it. I think it's – and look, I don't know him personally, but I think – DeMarco, I thought of that, right? But I also thought, you know how silly – no offense to you, DeMarco, because you played the sport at a really high level and won a championship, but executives in your sport drive me up the wall sometimes, okay? Because I could see that well, Andy's really the guy calling the plays, and Eric is doing the install, and, you know, you get that nonsense going back and forth, and I could see that being an issue.
Okay, that's fair. Look, I played against Bieniemy in college. I had to block him in the pros when he was a special teams ace for the Chargers. So I know how tough he is and how scary he can be, but I'm not in the room. I'm not in the building. All I can do is, you know, take what I hear. I hear he runs the offense. I hear he does a lot more than what they let on. And I think he's just as credible as anybody else getting jobs these days. So I do wonder what's so different about him. You know, maybe he just doesn't wear a suit when he goes in the interview. I don't know, but I think it's long overdue.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bieniemy's deal is probably also a lot of the Bieniemy knows that he doesn't need another job. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, when you walk into a situation in which you could probably wait out Reed for Kansas City if you wanted to, you know, he's not groveling the way that certain people need him to in order to get into a space. Not only does he install the offense, not only does he call the plays, he's the guy in Mahomes' ear. Like, I would be giving him a job yesterday if I was the Chargers.
Right.
I never understand how this doesn't happen, but I think that George is right. There's a certain level of, like, NFL guy who needs to be, you know, groveled to a little bit in terms of these type of situations. Why would Bieniemy care if somebody didn't hire him? He's doing just
this
fine with
so
the best
funny.
Quarterback in the league.
I just watched this movie. It's an old movie. It's called, can I say this on the radio? It's a movie. It's The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Burt Reynolds.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie,
so I can say it. But I was reading the IMDb, and Burt Reynolds said that he kind of strong-armed the director to put Charles Durning, whatever the guy's name is, a guy in the movie because no one knows he can sing and dance, and you'll get the credit for it, and sure enough, he did. So maybe that's the problem with Bieniemy. You don't get credit for Patrick Mahomes because of how special he is. So maybe you need your own jar of clay. Or, look, if you can get Chad Henne to look as good as Patrick Mahomes for one game,
yeah,
he should be hired on the spot.
All right, pick the Super Bowl winner, the Super Bowl teams. Give it to me.
Oh, God. You know, Kansas City, regardless of who starts at quarterback, I think that team is – that culture is phenomenal. I'll take them. And I'll take Tampa Bay to beat Green Bay.
Okay.
I think that defense is good enough to stop the run, and they have enough good pass rushers that can disrupt what Aaron Rodgers is doing. If Aaron Donald was healthy in that game last week, that game is different. Not saying the Rams would have won, but it wouldn't have been that easy. So the first time that Green Bay bumped into a tough team, it was Tampa way back in the day that gave them their first loss. So I'll take Tom Terrific and the Buccaneers to beat Green Bay.
There he is, DeMarco Farr, Rams on-field analyst, friend of the program, joins us every week at 6:15 here on Wednesdays. Thank you, sir. Stay healthy and stay safe. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. Thanks, see you. There's DeMarco. All right, coming up next, you and I are going to tackle a big, big debate that we had earlier in the show. And we're going to lure Greg Bergman back in. The dismisser will be defending his baseball team against teams that are chasing him in the division, in his own backyard. We're going to dive deep into some baseball talk next. Sedano and LZ, Clint Yates hanging out. We're back in 4 minutes. Time for What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. Bergman, what do you got?
All right, so we've been talking a lot about the NBA Analysis Network and how much you love it. So I decided to go check it out and see what they had. And they have other trades. The one that I really thought was interesting, maybe that you guys could tell me what you think of it, is the Clippers side of it. The Clippers and the Charlotte Hornets.
The Clippers
Hornets
side of it? Is that what you just said?
The Clippers side.
I mean, that it was. It came out a little weird. I got to be honest with
you. You got to nitpick every single thing that comes out of my mouth.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly what I need to do. Because it was
every
funny.
Every single little thing.
I got to speak right in ESL class, homie.
Yeah. You need to get you some ESL. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. You know, sometimes you get a little tongue twisted. It's all right. The Clippers and Charlotte Hornets, they have having a trade where the Clippers would receive Terry Rozier and the Hornets would receive Lou Williams and Ivica Zubats. I'm not going to you, George. Clinton.
I didn't
what do
hear
you think
what
of that
you
trade?
Said anymore. I just heard Ivica Zubats.
I don't like that trade.
World.
I like what Charlotte's doing with Ball and Terry, you know, sort of being the kind of 1-2 young guy, older guy.
Oh! Sorry. Cleveland George just tied the game in overtime
George
with 1 second to go against Brooklyn. Sorry.
Back to my point, I like what's happening down there in the Hive in Charlotte. Terry Rozier has become a nice package to deal with, teach, if you will, the young Ballster. I like that pairing together. I would not break them up if I was Charlotte, no.
What is the trade, Greg? I didn't even hear what the hell you said. I was just laughing at you.
The Clippers would receive Terry Rozier, and the Hornets would receive Lou Williams and Ivica Zubats. The Clippers side of it. Thanks, Jorge. Appreciate you. Way to have my back.
Wow. Say it again, because I didn't hear you, because he was telling me to listen to what he was
saying. The Clippers side of it. So the Clippers would receive Terry
Why
Rozier.
Are we doing this? What is going on here? Yeah.
The Hornets would receive Lou Williams and Ivica Zubats.
Terry Rozier.
Correct.
And who else?
That's it. Terry Rozier for
That's
Lou
it?
Williams and Ivica Zubats. That
I mean, hell, if I'm the Clippers, I'm doing that. Lou Will doesn't look like the same Lou Will, finally. But why would the Hornets do that?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not doing that if I'm the Hornets. That's not what I'm there for. That adds so little.
That would be us clowning Michael Jordan again.
That doesn't even make sense. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that if I was the Hornets at all.
By the way, NBA Analysis Network, terrible analysis. I got to be honest with you.
All right. The next story is about Christian Pulisic, who is obviously
This is great.
No, you know this one? So, yeah, he sat down with GQ Sports Magazine and they talked about what are the 10 things that he couldn't live without. Now, I'm not going to get into all the different things that he couldn't live without, but one of them is his Air Force Ones, Nike Air Force Ones. What is the one thing away, not your phone, what is the one thing you cannot do without?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. What matters about that story, Greg, are the photographs of Christian.
Yeah.
All right, that's all we need to talk about. There are multiple man spread in tank top and pants shots that are amazing. Okay, so if you're looking for your American soccer male heartthrob, bang, it is available to you. Those will be memes forever. So that's what when I said I saw that, Greg, that's what I was talking about. Okay, was the
photographs. You're all about the fashion
all over my TL. okay? Because at one point he's wearing like bootcut jeans, like Sedano in '97, hanging out at the mall. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't look terrible, but it's kind of like, what is happening here? What happened? You know, so that's the best part about that whole story. Forget about his shoes. George, have you seen this?
Yes. Colin Sexton hit a big three. They're now going into double overtime in Cleveland against the Nets with Kyrie back. I'm rooting for the takes.
Clearly.
Come on, Cleveland.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It's one game.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm rooting for the takes. We need content. We need content. I just tweeted, I audibly yelled when Sexton hit that shot. I forgot to, I neglected to mention I was also on the air when that happened, but my wife did tweet and said she didn't hear me. So there's that.
Even better.
I am in a different part of the house though.
Did we get an update on what's happening for Christmas since we're asking about what's happening? Christmas dinner since what's happening?
Oh, I did. Oh, so apparently there was a deal at the, local grocery store on, lobster tails.
Oh.
So we do a little lobster tails and crab cakes. Crab cakes. How about that?
Wow. Is there anywhere, this is a total distraction, but since we're on it, I need to know, is there anywhere where I can get a decent crab legs, like a bushel of crabs out here? Is that not even possible? Is that
I don't know. Thing? I've never
That's
tried. I you know what? I'll ask Mrs. Sedano, who is a
Please
native.
Please do. I need
she,
to know.
You know. She is a native, born in Northridge. You know, okay. Could probably help you out here a little bit, but okay. I am not a native, clearly, although I after 5 years, I feel like I know a lot. Crab legs is not my thing, though. That's not my jam. So maybe someone in the audience could call in real quick at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776 and help you out because I'll have to wait to the break to get to her. But nonetheless, Greg, what is the thing I could do without or I can't do without that's not my phone?
Right.
That's a great question. I would say it would be suits. I love suits. I am a suit person. It's weird because I'm not a suit person because I like to be in my, you know, like right now, I'm literally.
Your turtlenecks?
No, not turtlenecks necessarily. The turtleneck is a gimmick. The turtleneck is just a gimmick.
But it's a late blow in the late rounds. Sedano's on the ropes. What's going to happen?
The turtleneck was a gimmick, and it worked, clearly, by the way. So there's that. You know, Craig Sager went with fancy, crazy suits. I went with a turtleneck, and, you know, rest in peace, Craig. But suits, I don't like to wear suits very often, but I am very particular about suits. Like, I feel the need, especially when I'm, you know, non-COVID, right, when I'm doing more games, to always kind of re-up the suit game. I want to make sure that it's tight and it's strong.
I don't wear suits, FYI.
Yeah, Weddings. Well, I know. I've done Around the Horn with you, and you go casual.
Yeah, that's it, baby. Yeah.
I like it, though. That's you.
Hey, I'm doing my best.
By the way, the casual doesn't look casual. It looks like tight.
Because I'm a classy individual. I know how to get it done. I got a nice sweater on right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. All right, are you ready to fight with Bergman about the Dodgers and Padres?
Yes. Always.
All right, we'll do that. What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. We did What You Need to Know way later because we had Momo on and then DeMarco, so we had to move some things around. But the Dodgers are going after Trevor Bauer. And Clinton's not a fan. Curious to see if you guys are. Also, if you know crab leg spot for Clinton, hit us up, 877-710-ESPN. And Greg will have to come to grips with the Padres are chasing the Dodgers and have a realistic chance to chase the Dodgers because of what they've added this offseason. And Dodger fans, even Dodger fans who have called us, have felt that way. Yet Bergman, as stubborn as he is, we know he loves to be stubborn about his teams, will argue, debate, go at it, mano a mano with the great Clinton Yates. Oh, yeah! There we go.
I'm gonna show you a few things.
You gotta look tight when you're on TV. You know what I mean?
Song kind of goes. Not gonna lie, I've danced to it many a time to this song at like weddings and funerals when I was.
Oh, it's a great wedding song.
Not funerals, but weddings. Sorry.
Great wedding song for sure.
Great wedding song.
No question. By the way, we are a minute and 40 seconds away from the takes being scorching on the Brooklyn Nets.
Enough.
They are down 8. With 90 seconds to go here in overtime.
Who do you think is going to have the hot?
Make that down 11 with a minute and 30 seconds to go. Come on, Cavs. I have never been a Cavs fan in my life. But this
say.
I am all in on Brooklyn losing because, oh, my God. Kyrie just missed a shot. Oh, it's going to be so
Who do you think is going to have the hottest take?
Oh, Stephen A.
Network.
Stephen A. is going to be on fire tomorrow. I'm gonna set an alarm to watch First Take tomorrow. Oh man, it's gonna be early out here too.
If you're doing it live,
and if you are a Laker fan, you got to be loving every second of that. Oh boy, they just hit another three. It is a 14-point game with a minute to go. Cleveland is gonna have the biggest upset on the board tonight. The Nets
for the record, George said when this game went to overtime, the Cavs have no chance in overtime.
Well, I figured, just so we're clear. Right,
because
I'm like, oh, these guys are going to take them out. And they have been fantastic. Good Lord, the takes are going to be so hot. So hot. All right, Laker fan, the Nets, I know you love the Nets losing. You better start loving it now because I still think they're going to be there in the end. But at least the ride will be more fun this way. All right. Padres, Dodgers, Trevor Bauer. Let's start there. I'm in on Trevor Bauer because I am all about, much like my Nets pick to win the East, give me the most talent. We'll figure it out. And the ride may be bumpy, but I think in the end, the means justify the end, right? Like, that's just kind of my position on it. You, though, Clinton, think that the clubhouse harmony could have a problem there.
I do, but hold on. We have breaking news. Can we hit the sounder? Can we hit the sounder, please? News from at Smitty SBJ Sports Journal. The Pac-12 agrees to part ways with Commissioner Larry Scott.
Whoa.
CEOs just finished meeting tonight. National search for a new commissioner will begin immediately.
I'm ready if they want.
Your thoughts.
I mean, I'm here.
Sedano.
If they want.
Oh, you're available. Are you sure you're watching double overtime Cavaliers games and yelling at the city about it? Have time for that? I'm messing with you. What do you think about this, though? Because Larry Scott's been a guy that I felt like has not moved this conference forward at all.
Well, the only thing he's done that's good is make them a lot of money on their television deals. But outside of that, but here's the thing. That is not enough, right? Because he hasn't pushed to get the conference in positions to win championships, right? And that's really what we're judging everything by. This is a very binary discussion. Money matters, yes, but the hierarchy of where these conferences are, to your point earlier, matters more, especially to donors, boosters, alumni, et cetera, et cetera. The prestige of it means a lot more than how much you're putting in the coffers. You know what I mean?
I would agree, but I think the television contract thing is big because, like, is their television deal really that great? I mean, like, I don't think that the Pac-12 has the national imprint in 2021 that it should. I really don't. There was that whole weird story about, like, the journalism thing that was very oddball with the LA Times. That was a whole other discussion. But, like, Greg, I mean, in your opinion, would you consider the Pac-12 through any reason other than name notoriety like a power conference in any real major sport?
It's not anymore, and it's a lot of it is because of the TV deal, and that you cannot watch the Pac-12 network on anything except for Spectrum. You cannot; it's not on DirecTV. It's people on the East Coast do not see it. You don't see these games. It's a problem, and a lot of it is because of Larry Scott and the issues that he's had with this whole TV deal. I am very, very happy that he is no longer the commissioner because he has done nothing for this conference.
Well, I will say this. The Pac-12 network is a disaster. I will give you that. But they did get a $3 billion deal between Fox and ESPN to split their games. And so I think that the national television package part of it is what I was referring to is great. Nonetheless, the Pac-12 network is a mess. By the way, what you want to talk about, and I think we talked about this, you and I, Greg, when I was doing middays, you know, months and months ago or whatever. ESPN, the story came out that ESPN offered to take on the Pac-12 network, right? In addition to, you know, and they can split the revenue or whatever. And Larry Scott turned them down, which I thought was a huge mistake because we've seen the success of the SEC network and now
massive
the ACC
mistake.
Network. And ESPN clearly knows how to do this stuff. And by the way, so does Fox. The Big Ten Network does a nice job too. But they wanted to do it on their own, and that was short-sighted too.
It was more than short-sighted. It was idiotic, if you're asking me, because it didn't make sense at the time, and I didn't think it made sense what the plan was either. Like, what was the value there of doing it? Like, I'm never going to understand it, and I agree with Greg 100%. It was the fundamental mistake that did not allow for the rest of the conference to grow the way that it needed to, and I think that he's paying the price for that right now.
Yeah. So he's out, and not a huge surprise. He was also, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the highest paid commissioner too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. It's just insane what they gave him. Too much.
He was like $4 or $5 million, right? A year or something crazy like that?
Yeah, I'll look it up to get the exact number, but it was too much for what he was he's worth. It was a terrible job all the way around. I do it for half.
Yo, I get half of that. You know what I'm saying?
That's
hey,
true.
Pac-12, you listening?
All right, hold on. We got crab leg suggestions.
We do?
I need to know. Yes.
Who do we got?
All right. John in Huntington Beach. You're on ESPN 710. Tell me where I can get some crab legs, bro.
Hey, what up? First of all, as a Lakers fan, let's go Cavs!
Yeah!
Hey, all right, so crab legs. You want to go to Sunset Beach in California. You want to go to Captain Jack's.
Captain Jack's. I'm writing this down with my pen and pad, literally. Captain Jack's in Sunset Beach. Shall I tell him that John sent me?
Oh, tell him. Yeah, man. I mean, come on. You're going to get some nice steak and a big old plate of crab legs bigger than your leg.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the phone call. Right.
Let's go to D in L.A. who's got a crab leg.
D, before you get on, though, quickly, this is not just about going to a restaurant and sitting down. This is about where can I get, like, a bushel if I have to, if that's even possible. What you got?
I would say the ocean.
Oh my God! See, this is useless. Useless endeavor, George.
What did he say?
The ocean. Thanks, bro. Thank you. My God.
I mean, he ain't wrong. You know, there's that. Thank you, D. Clinton, I may have a place for you. A suggestion from Mrs. Sedano. I'll tell you off.
Okay.
Here,
so appreciate that. I need this. This is important.
Now, go ahead and fight with Greg about the Padres. Let's be real here.
I don't need to fight with Greg about the Padres. Greg is in denial about the fact that the Padres have had the best offseason of any team in Major League Baseball. And when it's convenient for his argument, he likes to say, oh, well, they haven't done anything yet. Well, nobody's saying they've done anything yet. What we're saying is that maybe, just maybe, if a guy who is a not-so-great everyday player for the Brewers and ruined them a series ends up getting under Dave Roberts' skin last year simply for pimping a home run, then maybe they're a little closer in the rearview mirror than y'all want to admit. Okay, Greg?
I'm fully aware of their offseason. I'm fully aware of their offseason, and I actually think that they did have the best offseason out of every team in Major League Baseball. I'm not in denial about anything. The whole deal is that when we talked about this off the air, about you started saying like, oh, well, you just don't realize that the rest of the country doesn't like the Dodgers. I didn't say that. I said the Padres are the most fun team.
Yeah, they are.
The Padres. Well, yeah, they like the Padres better. That's the whole thing. That's what all of it is. Is that all these everywhere else around?
You're
the country,
saying the Padres
the Dodgers,
are all marketing?
The Lakers.
Greg, you're saying the Padres just marketing?
Slam City? Just
no. It's people don't like. It's like the Yankees, right? Everywhere else, people hate the Yankees unless you're from New York and you're a Yankee fan. Otherwise, you hate them. Same thing with the Dodgers. Same thing with the Lakers.
But no, I don't think people hate the Dodgers.
I don't think people hate the Lakers like that.
I don't think anybody hates the Dodgers like that.
Nobody's worried about it.
They're looking for anything that is not L.A. to be taking the spotlight away.
Look.
Here comes the Padres.
Yeah, but but here's the difference. Like, if you're talking about the Lakers, like, I'm with you 100%. They're literally the beat L.A. chant started because of the Lakers, okay? So, I don't think the Dodgers have, no offense, have done enough winning to deserve that hate. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the reality of it. The Dodgers are great, and they are the champs till dethroned, and they have the deepest roster. But the Padres made it and it had such an infusion here this offseason that – and in baseball, you can make that – you can flip that switch quickly and make that change quickly to being a contender very fast. And I think the Padres have put themselves in that conversation. That's not unfair to say.
No, it's not unfair to say, and they are. I was just – my whole point is that you saying, like, oh, the Dodgers are looking behind them, like, oh, they're scared of the Padres. No,
what?
Not yet.
I'm not scared. Like, scared is
– right. They're not – we're not scared. That's the whole – that's my whole –
Whoa, Clinton!
I'm just saying, Slam Diego, baby.
This is the problem. This is where
it goes. I'm totally trolling. Yep. I just like their uniforms and they're a fun team. I think that they have a pretty good shot to win the West, but that's about it. Bang!
These two dudes.
I'm dancing.
You seen this video, Clinton? Go look at this video.
Of course I've seen this video.
It's ridiculous.
Kidding me? I love it.
It's such a terrible song.
It's so bad. But
no, this actual song is great.
This version of it is terrible. This is not great, but we like
it. All right, so Scott Kaplan's in tonight. We'll do some crosstalk with him. Stick around. Sedano and LZ. Clint Yates hanging out today.
What up?
Time for Crosstalk with Scott Kaplan. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles. Clinton, the great crab leg caper continues.
Okay. So for all of you all who don't really understand what's going on here, back where I'm from, at home, You don't just buy, like, I was not looking for somebody where I could go order crab legs
like
and have
restaurant.
Them bring me a thing. Yeah, no, that's not what we're talking about. Back home, what you do is you go to the place or you go to, like, the wharf or whatever, and you say, I want either a bushel or, like, a half bushel or a couple bushels. A couple bushels is a lot. That's a lot of crabs for a lot of people. You get either the males or the females, the crabs, which are the bigger ones or the smaller ones, and just take them home. You know what I'm saying? And you just eat them. You know, you crack them open. You do all the different things. So that's what I'm looking for, is a bushel situation, not a scenario where I can go buy a steak and some crab legs. I mean, come on. I can do that anywhere in America or wherever. But, yes, bushel alert is what we're on. Scott, do you have any suggestions?
All right. So, first of all, good evening to you, gentlemen.
Hello.
Do you need a bougie sort of place? Like,
No. I'm taking them away. You know what I'm saying? I'm picking them up.
Right,
I'm
making them at home.
I'm taking them home. I'm putting the newspaper out. I'm getting my mallets and my Old Bay moving. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're doing. My pilsners. Yes.
Okay, let me throw this at you. Would you like them to be delivered?
Oh, yes. I would actually prefer that.
Okay. All right, so what I'm hearing is this. It doesn't have to be fancy.
No. Okay?
You don't want to go sit down somewhere. Where are you going to go anyway?
Right.
And lastly, you'd rather have them delivered.
I would take a delivery if it had to. I wouldn't mind going to find some place, though, because I don't know enough stuff. So.
Okay, I just want to say this. I'm not a crab connoisseur. Do like them. Don't buy them. Don't prepare them. But I have one really good friend of mine who, by the way, is really happy tonight because his Sixers just came up with a big win. George, by the way, I'm with you. I loved Cleveland beating Brooklyn tonight. I loved it.
We are not going to get away from this game.
But I got to say, this friend of mine who is a crab connoisseur, Clinton, he orders them, and they're delivered from Costco.
Oh.
And, brother, they are bomb AF.
Okay. Costco makes sense. That's fair. That's completely – listen, Costco is a quality establishment.
It is.
As far as I'm concerned. Yeah. There's no step down. I just did not know that. That is good to know. I appreciate that.
I get a little we did one Taco Tuesday. Scott and I were doing crosstalk. And Mrs. Sedano did a little lobster taco on Taco Tuesday.
Oh.
And it was from Costco.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. This is great news.
Yeah.
Excellent. You, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That.
And listen now, if you're like the kind of person that likes to go to Costco and pick it all out, I have recently noticed that if you go in the evening of a weekday, it is freaking empty, man. It is like a pleasure. There is no battle for anything in the frozen section. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I get you. The problem with me is Costco is that people are a little, like, unlike the grocery store, I feel that the decorum is a little lower. Like, people get a little too close to you at Costco. I'm like, back up, dog. Yeah. I will scream at you in this warehouse. Whereas in this grocery store, I will be a little bit more polite. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a smaller edifice. But in this big old room with these big old ceilings, I will let the voice fly. People get a little too close to me. I have to do it a couple times. But that's a good suggestion. I will check that out. Thank you, Mr. Calvin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, dude. I'm telling you, you either get them there or they deliver them to you. It's great.
Perfect.
Nice, man. You prepare crabs by yourself, like in your own house.
No,
like,
you don't always prepare them. They either cook them or you just boil them. I mean, it's not that much. There's not much to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why they're so fun. You put them in there. They're still, you know, grabbing and clawing. They're blue. Pop them in. They come out. They're red. Bang. Eat them. Let's go.
Done.
Zach?
Yeah. George, you ever cooked a live lobster in your home?
I have not. I have not done that. We cook our – We get like lobster tails or lobster meat or whatever, but it's already been taken care of.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of, you know, like the lobster's alive, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just take them and you drop them in this boiling water.
Yeah, I feel terrible. I would feel terrible doing that. You're just not me, you know, not my style. Like, listen, my grandma, who grew up obviously in a third world country in Cuba, if you got her around a chicken.
Oh, forget it.
It'd be like she'd snap the neck and let's go. It's time to make, you know, it's time to eat some chicken. I'll cook it up for you.
Yeah. My grandmother, same way, old school. And I remember one time my grandfather did. He brought home a chicken that somebody had given to him that they chopped off the head. I was like, what the hell? And my grandmother took it in a plastic bag. She took the chicken out. She started pulling the feathers off of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, Grandma, what are you doing? And she was like, oh, I grew up doing this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Like,
no
that's
way,
real?
Man. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Scott, let me ask you this. We were talking about this earlier. And look, you know Phillip Rivers really well. You covered him for a very long time. I don't want to ask you the Hall of Fame question yet. But I want to ask you this, a question that Clinton and I were talking about. There are three options here. which do you think was the tougher pursuit? Being a quarterback for 18 years, having to parent 9 children, or having to commute the way he did that 1 year in L.A. from San Diego?
My vote.
Yeah, yeah, that was rough. He was not leaving San Diego. It was kind of an interesting thing. You know, he really never put himself out there to try and help keep the Chargers in San Diego. But when the Chargers moved, he was not going with them. He was just not leaving. And he had a big fat house, and it was really only about an hour and change to go from where he lived up to the facility. And so he got one of these conversion vans. I'm sure you guys know the story. And he watched film, and he, you know, took calls or whatever it is that he was doing. He used that time. And it really upset the Chargers front office because he was never up there. He wasn't available. You know, they couldn't parade him around and show him off at all. I mean, it was just to work and then back home. The quarterback thing, you know, he was a really exceptional talent. I mean, he had a lot of Brett Favre's kind of gutsiness, and he had a lot of Peyton Manning's brainy sort of vision of the field, although he never quite succeeded like those guys. But, man, being at home with 9 kids, guys, I got 4 kids. And, look, you might have a 10,000-square-foot home. You might have full-time help. You may be able to fly on private jets. But that was not Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers flew on Southwest. Philip Rivers, he never had any help. Like, there was no full-time live-in nanny or staff or cleaning people. It was him and his wife and the kids. And, man, a lot of kids, man. 9 kids.
Wow.
Gosh, 9 kids. You got to do it a lot to have 9 kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And, by the way, like, so I was telling Clinton, when they lost the playoff game, the Colts, we were watching SportsCenter. My wife was there, and that was her thing. She was like, man, they had 9 children. And I'm like, yeah, we have 2, and it's a lot. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right, it's hard.
You have, what, 4, Scott?
Yeah, 4, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. You know, like, I can't think of 9. Like, could you imagine having more than double the children that you had?
Oh,
like, that's
God.
Crazy to me.
Right, like seriously, like, I tell that to people all the time, too. I'm like, what, you have 2 kids? I'm like, you guys done? Like, we're not really sure. We're kind of thinking about it. I'm like, don't. Don't do it. I'm like, you, yeah. My man, you go get a vasectomy now, tomorrow, yeah. Okay? Make sure that this does not happen to you, okay? I had 2 kids, and I was like, first of all, I had 1 kid, and I was like, I'm good. And then I had my 2nd kid, and I was like, now I'm really good. And then the 3rd kid, I was like, okay, I'm done, and I scheduled an appointment for a vasectomy. And I went in, and I got scheduled, and then I called to, like, you know, make sure everything was cool. And the woman said to me, she goes, hey, are you the guy on the radio? And I was like, oh, my God, that makes me feel so like you're in my business. So I canceled the appointment. And I swear to you, I canceled the appointment, and I hadn't done it in months, okay? Yeah. You got 3 little kids. You're changing diapers. You don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then the one time I did it, the one
Boom.
Time.
Number
turned
4.
Turned into kid number 4.
Sure yeah. shot over here.
Yeah. I know.
That's funny.
I know. I got a percentage like Steph Curry's 3-point range. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. This show, I love it. This has been all over the place. Crab legs, vasectomies. Kyrie, we got a lot going on today.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, yeah, George, I didn't get to see this game. I was hearing you screaming.
Yeah.
First, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Where are you watching the game? Is it like on the NBA package or something?
Yeah,
it's
on League Pass. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you don't spring for League Pass with the 4 kids? That's
not happening? I know. I can't believe it. I'm like, where is he watching this game? Because I was watching on ESPN. I was watching Boston, Philly. Now I got the Clippers and Sacramento coming on. And I was like, oh, man, where is he seeing this game?
You could spring $199 for the season.
I think League Pass is also the best value for all of those.
Oh, my God, yeah. Absolutely.
Direct ticket for the NFL, you don't need that with Red Zone.
No.
Center ice with the NHL, it's only $100, but, like, I know you guys aren't watching that much hockey.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And MLB TV and MLB.
There's so much baseball on national television anyway.
There's so much baseball on.
You don't need it.
Totally worth it. Totally.
League Pass is worth it, Scott, because here's the thing. If you follow the right people on Twitter from, like, people like fans or media people who cover these other teams, you'll know what the hottest game is if you're just on Twitter every once in a while. Like, as games are winding down, you don't even need to – I mean, obviously, you can just go to the ESPN app and check what's getting hot and getting close. But, man, like, it becomes an experience because all of a sudden you'll see that. You'll see the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Brooklyn Nets, the vaunted Brooklyn Nets right now.
Let me tell you, I didn't get to see it, but I'm just looking at the box score, and I see that Durant had 38. Okay, so my next thought is, what did Harden do? because they had been playing so well together. I look down, I see Harden has 21, and then I see Kyrie has 37.
So Harden came on late in the game, and what happened was this got tight late, and there were a couple of dicey calls that I thought, you know, put Cleveland in a better position to win than they probably should have been. Personally,
a little home cooking.
There was a little home cooking that probably took away, I would say, one or two clean looks potentially from the Nets that would have won this in regulation. It didn't happen. So that's why we got to where we got.
But by the way, the interesting part about all of this is because Kyrie, Harden, and KD want to be so hipster. It's like the Nets are the Clippers, basically. You know what I'm saying? If the only thing that's the difference in New York is that the Knicks stink and they've stunk for 20 years. But like they don't have like a fan base. You know what I mean? Like it's very similar in this. Like the fan base is so small that you could really like clown the Nets right now on social media and you'll have like four people clap back at you. Whereas that happened with any other franchise, like unless there maybe I guess KD stands or Harden stands or Kyrie stands go clap at you, but there's not like a lot of Nets fans, you know? Like it's just Ian Eagle, you know, and Noah Eagle.
So you're piling, on.
That's the Eagle family and Ryan Rucco, my guy Ryan Rucco. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty much the deal. Nobody's clapping back at you. So it actually is like everyone's just piling on tonight. And I'm telling you, I am setting an alarm tomorrow for 7 o'clock. I need to see Stephen A. and Max. I need to see who else is on the show. I need to see how long they dedicate to this. Like, I feel like the whole A block is just going to be Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I think it's really awesome because I couldn't wait to see Kyrie come back and have something like this happen. Because, again, you look at him. Like, did you see his press conference the other day where he's got his head down on the table and his arms down? He's not, like, sitting up. He's not like, paying. It doesn't seem like he's really into it at all. He just this whole like he's so wannabe eccentric that I've grown to dislike him so much.
He just doesn't like the media. That's it. I don't think we have to take it much farther than that. He's not into us. And you know, like I get what you're saying though, Scott. Like to some people he comes across as aloof. To me, he comes across as disinterested, which I think personally, if somebody's disinterested in me, that's because I'm not doing enough. That's just my personal stance. But like, what I'm concerned about is whether or not he's going to be able to play the basketball that he wants to play. And that's where George's point comes in here, is that when you add up what he's putting out in terms of what people think about him with losses to Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? It's really easy to look at him and be like, what are you even doing? But I think that there's something, I don't think there's much more than him just not being a big fan of the media. You know what I mean? For a lot of different reasons that are personal, and whether or not they're reasonable or not is different. But like, I get that, man. There's a lot of guys throughout the years that have been like that, but they weren't as good as Kyrie, you know? So it just doesn't come across the same way. But let me ask you this, Scott. Do you think this team is going to make the finals?
I still think they make it there, yes.
The Nets?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Oh, no.
I'm betting Mason some Granddaddy Purple OG on it. So there you go.
Oh, really? Really?
Right.
How much?
That escalated in front of my face too, Scott. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that's where we were going with that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's legal here. It's California.
Hey, man, it's one of my favorite things about this radio station, I swear to you, is how much Mason and LZ talk about weed. It cracks me up, you know? Just no shame whatsoever, you know?
And I listen to that show, Saturday Strains, like the weekend show, you know what I'm saying? Where they just talk about...
They should do that. That actually would be hilarious.
I'd listen to that, for sure.
Yeah. Cap, what do you got on the show tonight?
Coming up tonight, George, I'm glad you asked, my friend. Thank you. Dave McMenamin is going to be here. We'll talk about the Lakers. We'll talk some NBA. We'll definitely get some reaction to this Cleveland victory tonight. I'm also tonight trying out something new called my Rams Roundtable. So I'm going to put together Lindsay Theory, who everybody knows on the station, okay? And I'm going to put her together with Eric Williams from Sports Illustrated. I'm going to pose a bunch of Rams-related questions to both of them. So a little Rams Roundtable. By the way, if I could add a third line to get a third guest on the air at the same time, I'd have three, just so you know.
Right.
But I only got two lines. That's all.
Okay.
also, a little bit later on, are you guys following it all? Like, I'm following because my kids are about this age. But are you guys following this battle that's going on between high school football coaches and the governor, because the high school football coaches have all banded together and they want high school football back on the field? So I'm going to dive deep into that with the head football coach from Bosco, which is, like, you know, one of the best high school football programs in the country. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll be looking forward to it, brother. Good to talk to you. Good to hear your voice.
Well, hey, listen, I want to say one thing to you, and it's good to hear your voice, but listen to me. Don't listen to the show tonight, okay? Just don't listen.
Why?
Don't even listen. Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to watch the show, okay?
Oh, that's right. I can watch it on ESPN LA's account, right? On the Twitter account?
You can watch on the Twitter account. You can be really cool and millennial, and you can watch on Twitch.
I'm a Twitch guy.
Oh,
you're talking
okay.
my language
I got
now.
Twitch.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You can watch on Facebook, old school.
Yeah.
Okay. And where I'm really trying to direct people is the ESPN LA YouTube page.
Oh, let's do that. Mm,
yeah. Okay.
Because the YouTube page is great because there's a live chat going on at the same time.
Right.
Fair enough. I'm in.
Okay. Nice. Okay. I like
thank you.
And thank you for the crab legs.
Dude, please do that. And
I'm hitting Costco tomorrow.
It
it's a lock. Okay. It's a lock. I will keep you informed.
All right.
All right, man. Have a great show.
Back to you.
See you. Clinton, thank you so much, sir. Excellent work as always.
No problem, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And see y'all soon.
Briones, gracias. Greg, great job. We will talk to you on Friday. Lakers in our place tomorrow. Lakers and Bucks here on the home of your world champion Lakers, 710 ESPN. Scott Kaplan's up next. Have a great night.